In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of 100 hellhounds. Cries the banshee, terror of the Wendigo. You all they can't see, they don't just know where to go. It's the creature. It's the creature.
Welcome back to this exciting October episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore. We're celebrating Halloween, talking about one of the most infamous, because he is definitely infamous, creature, monster, horror, science fiction grandfathers of all time, as Stephen King has called them. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And Mel and I are celebrating Halloween the best way possible, as we've covered already a bunch of Halloween-related things like witches and the Great Pumpkin, Halloween, and Samhain, and things like that. In previous episodes you can find in the podcast, we're covering H.P. Lovecraft as he technically appears in a flashback sequence in this episode, Let It Bleed. And
he
Mel
does.
Has a plot synopsis for us about Let It Bleed.
So, Season 6, Episode 21, Let It Bleed, originally aired May 20th, 2011. Good year, good year. And directly following Castiel's visit in The Man Who Would Be King, and after Dean comments that Jedediah's journal had no information on purgatory, Bobby realizes that the Moish Campbell's journal is missing. Bobby tells Dean and Sam that he thinks Castiel stole the journal so that he could read Moish's notes about H.P. Lovecraft, an author who was fascinated by the concept of doors to other dimensions. Thankfully, Bobby already made a copy of the journal, and they discuss the possibility that Lovecraft, having written about opening doors to another dimension and ancient creatures called the Old Ones, knew something about purgatory. Dean receives a call from Ben.
So in this episode, we learn that H.P. Lovecraft exists in this universe of Supernatural, which makes a lot of sense. Mel, what are some things you know about H.P. Lovecraft besides the fact that he lived in Providence? He's buried here in Providence. And there's a funny version of the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song that was posted online about H.P. Lovecraft. I thought it was hilarious. He goes, "Are you ready, kids? Aye, aye, Captain. Oh, who creates terror and horror under the sea? H.P. Lovecraft. Racist and sexist was he? H.P. Lovecraft."
Hey, you got that right. I actually read Call of Cthulhu in preparation for this podcast that we are recording right now, and I hated it.
Why?
It was just, have you ever read a book and you keep reading the same paragraph over and over and your brain really isn't absorbing the information?
Uh-huh.
Before anybody on our podcast wants to call me dumb, I normally read about 100 books a year. And, you know, there's usually about 5 books a year that I don't enjoy. This was one of them. So it's not a lack of me reading, but I don't know. He's just one of those authors that my brain does not want to absorb. And the entire book was like this. I kept reading the same paragraph over and over and over again. It's like, it's just not going in. And the bits that did, I was like, yikes. Here's an actual quote from the book. "The prisoners all proved to be men of a very low, mixed-blooded, and mentally apparent type. Most were seamen and sprinkling of Negroes and mulattoes, largely West Indians or Brava Portuguese from the Cape Verde Islands, gave a coloring of voodooism to the heterogeneous cult. But before many questions were asked, it became manifest that something far deeper and older than Negro fetishism was involved. Degraded and ignorant as they were, the creatures held a surprisingly consistency to the central idea of their loathsome faith." That's an actual quote. Don't come for me. I don't like the racism involved in it. Like, it just reeks of it.
I can't remember my first exposure to H.P. Lovecraft, but I'm almost positive it was probably The Real Ghostbusters. There's an episode called Collect Call of the Cthulhu. In it, the original copy of the Necronomicon is on loan to the Natural History Museum in the I'm sorry, the Public Library in New York, and the it gets stolen by these like squid-like monsters who are basically spawns of Cthulhu and this cult that needs to use it, and Peter and Egon travel up to Innsmouth, Massachusetts to hunt down a woman who is an occult expert on Cthulhu and H.P. Lovecraft, and they Ray even points out that H.P. Lo that all those old science fiction writers like H.P. Lovecraft back in the 30s, they got the ideas for their writing from the Necronomicon. Like, the Necronomicon is a real thing. The Necronomicon is not a real thing. You can go to any Barnes and Noble and buy a copy of the Necronomicon for $7.99, by the way, in paperback.
Yeah, just funny that everybody thinks it's so dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, do you really think if it was that dangerous, people w like Barnes and Noble would sell that book? I mean, that's the type of like reality versus fiction world we live in when it comes to religion, ghosts and goblins and stuff like that. I mean, you can go to any Barnes and Noble or bookstore in their occult section, and they have the Necronomicon with spells in it that should be bringing about the end of the world. And as far as I'm aware, today is October 18, 2024, and we're still here.
I think that our audience should let me know if they want me to go to a Barnes and Noble and buy and actually conduct one of these spells
You
and
have to.
bring
You
forth the
should.
end
You
of the
should like.
world.
You should. You should draw like a big old pentagram on the middle of the floor. Strip down to your robes and just sit there and just start doing the chants with the candles lit and just see. Wait until the. If you have a Barnes and Noble on base, just wait till the military police take you away.
Hilarious. And
What's
people
your
think that stuff's real.
What's your husband's rank again?
He's a chief.
He's what?
A chief.
The chief. Okay, we're gonna call the chief. His wife's doing the crazy again. I'm just also surprised that nobody has like made a movie where like kids go to the like to their local bookstore and just buy a copy of the Necronomicon and try to like bring about the evil shit in it, and they accidentally actually accomplish it.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just like,
Yes.
we just thought it was a funny gag because we heard about it on a podcast. Look at that, Mel. I just wrote you your next movie that you're going to write and direct yourself.
Absolutely.
Can drop in the supernatural creatures of lore into the dialogue too.
So while I don't appreciate H.P. Lovecraft's writing and himself, I do really like his monsters. I mean, who doesn't fucking love tentacles?
I mean, tentacles are always good, especially in hentai.
Yeah, Cthulhu, he can be my main man. I'm
I don't know about
down.
that. That's a lot. I mean, I think that would rip you in multiple parts in your places.
What a better way to go.
I mean, if that's what you how you want to go, sure. I mean, I'm sure some women might disagree that they like those parts to be kept intact, not being. I mean, it looks pretty painful in hentai when it happens to people. Their eyes just bugging out of their skulls and stuff like that. But I digress. There's an actual movie too. There's obviously probably a lot of adult actual films, but there's like some actual like regular rated R horror movies where the Cthulhu like spawn or creatures are, doing things to women who are sacrifices to the great ones.
The great ones.
Dagon is based on The Shadows Over Innsmouth. That's a movie that was by Stuart Gordon. Stuart Gordon is a longtime director. He's passed away, unfortunately, but he was a longtime director of several H.P. Lovecraft stories, including From Beyond and Reanimator, which spawned two sequels, Bride of Reanimator and Beyond Reanimator.
Good stuff.
We were supposed to get House of Reanimator, which was supposed to be taking place at the White House, but at the time it was supposed to be coming out, I think the war in Iraq had just started happening, and they decided it was not a popular thing to do to anything with the White House, as it still kind of is today. But let's, you know what I mean? I would take the war
Yeah.
over Iraq versus the politics that are happening today any day.
True.
So I digress. Not to get into a political show, but there was supposed to be a political H.P. Lovecraft horror movie. So now Charles Band, who's best known for the Puppet Master series of films as well as a lot of other B-rated horror movies, is now doing like. Miskatonic University as a film series, and it's all these H.P. Lovecraft stories that are kind of happening within them. And the next film is supposed to be based on Reanimator, which is unique considering the fact that nobody has been able to touch Reanimator because of the fact that they don't want to make it look exactly like Stuart Gordon's, which is copywritten, based on the way that Jeffrey Combs looks and things like that. So,
Yes, I could definitely see that.
do we know what particular creature Bobby's girl happens to be, his friend?
Oh, that is a great question. Let's take a look. And Moesha, right? Moesha? Moesh?
No, that's Moe, that's the Campbell.
That's the Campbell.
He
Are we
abducts
talking
Dr.
about?
Viziak. He abducts Dr. Viziak. In the Supernatural Season 6 guide, executive producer Sarah Gamble is said having fun portraying the real H.P. Lovecraft in the teaser. So Lovecraft, by the way, is played by Sarah Gamble, the showrunner at the time. I love to bring real historical
Nice.
figures into episodes. It's one of my favorite things to do. This episode includes a lot of historically accurate details about Lovecraft, his age, his name, his last novella, but I think he had completed The Hunter in the Dark a year before his death, and he died of stomach cancer, not of being killed by a monster, which was what happens in the episode. We took some liberties, so you have to draw the conclusion that the monster made it look like stomach cancer. We played a little faster and looser with it than usual. We decided to have as much fun with it as possible, which means whoever found Lovecraft's body assumed the splatter of the blood on his manuscript was from his stomach exploding from his cancer. That's exactly what we're saying. Of course, we know the truth, that the monster who became known as Dr. Viziak gutted him. What kind of monster is she? She's a similar kind of creature to Eve, actually, says Gamble. She's a creature that originated in purgatory, and she is what came through the portal when Lovecraft and his cohorts did their little spell back in the day. She's a little less powerful, and she was not as high in the food chain over there, but she is extremely old, extremely powerful, but not of this earth. If you look closely between if you look closely, maybe you'll see a picture of her in the true form and scene where Bobby is interviewing the Lovecraft fanboy, Judah. The workspace had a great cluttered feel. We needed a great deal of posters and artwork to hang in his basement apartment to help visually explain the horrors of Lovecraft literature, work to the audience quickly and effectively. Emma Campbell, our art director assistant, found two great artists online, Paul Garrick and Errol Greiner, or Greener, that we felt accurately and faithfully represented Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos. Paul also provided a great sculpture for the Setic Cthulhu, a lesser god from Lovecraft fiction. Arkham Bazaar even shipped us various Lovecraft-based bumper stickers. It's amazing what you can find online these days. Additionally, and that was said, by the way, back in 2008, I got to use a poster from a friend's independent feature film called Altitude, which is also some of the artists from Phil Skringen found mid-season by the name of Daniel Danger. Ben was put in some serious danger during this episode. Okay, so then I'm just getting to the Ben and Lisa stuff, which I don't really care about, because Ben and Lisa are not characters on the show ever again.
All right.
Just kind of
Okay.
one of the worst characters ever created, FYI. Sorry, not sorry.
So I loved them, but then I absolutely like it was all for nothing, right?
All for nothing. It's a nothing. It's an over there. It doesn't matter anymore. That's what Paul
You're
Reiser
right.
said to Eleven in the last season of Stranger Things when she like fucking nearly curb stomps in the face that girl who was being a bee queen to her with a skate or whatever. And then the next episode, when Paul Reiser and his government black ops team freeze her, it's like it's a nothing. It's over there. It's no. It's not part of the plot line anymore. Then why did you do it? What
Right.
was the point of building up this whole high school drama bee queen? That whatever. That's Stranger Things. Let's move on.
And don't even get me started on season two. Well,
Let's let go on with some more information about H.P. Lovecraft you have uncovered.
oh, going back a little bit, we're talking about Eleanor Vizyak, right? Bobby's counterpart,
Yeah.
her creature.
Yep.
So she is a purgatory monster species, unnamed species. Which I found fascinating. I didn't know that he was actually married.
I didn't either until I read about that. I don't think he had any kids unless he did.
I don't think he did.
I'm actually developing a movie about a female secretary to a private detective, and it's going to have a Lovecraft theme to it being revealed.
Very fun.
Yeah. Lovecraft was only 46 years old when he passed away, by the way. Small intestinal cancer is exactly what it was. Sonia Green was his wife. She also died in 1937. They were married for 11 years.
Yeah, they
Fascinating.
weren't
She
married
died the
then.
same year. Most people only have the one or two photographs of Lovecraft, that one where he's got this really elongated face, which is pretty funny.
I thought that was just his face.
He was a lover of cats, that's for sure.
That might be why there's so many cats in the video game.
Which video game?
Call of Cthulhu?
Oh, the one that came out a few years ago?
Yeah, have you played it?
I did. Yeah, I played it and beat it. I got like the two different I got two different endings in it. Obviously, neither ending is supposed to be great. Like one Cthulhu
Right.
just shows up and the other one you kind of like get killed, but at least when Cthulhu shows up, you're not dead. I don't know really what the difference is. I thought it was okay. A lot of people say that like Water City, is that the name of the game? That's a much better game. But I don't know. I think apparently the PC version is a lot better than the PlayStation version because the PlayStation controls were so clunky.
I played on Xbox and I thought it was really smooth for what it
What, Call of
was.
Cthulhu or
It
Water City?
definitely called
Call of
Cthulhu.
Okay, yeah. Water City is the other one you could look into. In that, you play a private detective working in the city with like people like established being like Lovecraft kind of fish people and stuff. You
Oh
have a
my gosh, how
council.
fun!
You're running around between the mobs and stuff like that, the different mobs in the town, kind of like playing messenger boy. And then every once in a while you run into some Lovecraft crap, you know what I mean? Like ghosts and monsters and things like that. But Call of
Yeah.
Cthulhu, I thought was definitely more eerie. I gotta see if I still have a copy of that. I'm pretty sure I never traded it in. The last H.P. Lovecraft story to come out that I'm aware of, besides the Miskatonic University one, was Color Out of Space, starring Nicolas Cage.
When did that come out?
2019.
Wow, okay, so that's recent.
There's also Call Girl of Cthulhu. Can't imagine what that's about.
I remember when that was being developed, and I wrote the filmmakers, and I was like, please put me in it. But I was a nobody back then. Gosh, that must have been 15 years ago.
All about them tentacles, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So, Color Out of Space is an actual story of H.P. Lovecraft, and there was another adaptation of it back in 1965 starring Boris Karloff called Die Monster Die. I really like
That
that
sounds
version too. It's
fun.
a very creepy haunted house kind of thing about a guy meets a girl, comes, she brings him over to meet the family. The grandma's kind of always in shroud, the grandfather is just kind of creepy and curmudgeony, but he's only that way because he's keeping a secret, you know what I mean? Karloff kind of plays it up as a curmudgeonly, like bastard kind of character until the very end. You find out why, and he's actually, you sympathize with him. You go, oh, okay, you're forgiven for all your actions through the movie, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is really nice because Karloff's played enough monsters. You want him to play somebody that's kind of against type. You know what I mean? From the
Right.
Mummy to the Frankenstein monster to the Grinch. But it's an unknown Karloff film. I don't think a lot of people talk about, but it was definitely in the last 5 years of his life, so because it was 1965 and he had been around since like late 1800s.
Yeah.
There's Reanimator, which we mentioned. Dagon, by the way, if you ever want to see a sea chick filleted alive, watch Dagon.
That sounds funny.
Yeah, it's a lot
Not
of fun.
funny, but fun. Yeah,
There's the 2005 Call of Cthulhu, which was on Netflix for a long time. It's like a black and white film. There's also Necronomicon, which still to this day has never had a DVD, Blu-ray, or 4K release. You can only find it on VHS or Laserdisc. It's a Tales of Lovecraft kind of story anthology with Jeffrey Combs playing H.P. Lovecraft as he is telling the tales. He's kind of like a private investigator of the occult.
so there's a movie called Suitable Flesh that is apparently based on a H.P. Lovecraft story, short story. And I am obsessed with the poster. I need to watch this one.
Curse is also got some elements to H.P. Lovecraft in it. It's not exactly an adaptation of anything. The Deep Ones is an adapt is also it's called the H.P. Lovecraft's The Deep Ones. I've had the director of this movie on the show. This is one of those films that, again, if you're not in, it's got a horrible ratings on Rotten Tomato, but I actually really enjoy this film. But it's definitely one of those movies, if you don't like bad things happening to women in a movie that's non-consensual, don't watch this. It's just one of those kind of H.P. Lovecraft, tentacles in places kind of movie.
Fun.
Yeah. What else have I seen that's been adapted? The Witching of the Witch House, that's really good as well. I think I said the exact proper title of it.
I've seen that. It's been a long time, probably when
Right.
it
Have you
came
read
out
the
in
story?
2005.
Have you read the
No.
story? Oh, okay. I have an H.P. Lovecraft book collection that's printed on, the paper that the Bible is printed on?
Yes.
It's very soft kind of paper,
Yeah.
right? You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay, that I have all of his stories collected in that, and again, it feels like the binding feels like a Bible, and the individual paper feels like a Bible. I think that's so cool and sacrilegious.
It feels like it shouldn't be like that.
No, it should not be like that. That's why I love it. It's so cool. I'll never
Yes.
get rid of that. I got it for like nothing. It was at a bookstore I was working at. We were just getting, you know what I mean? We were just going through stuff and I took it. So whatever.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter. I wasn't technically
That's
stealing it, but it was kind of like a free for all. If you wanted to take something, go ahead.
totally fair.
Yeah, I ran into somebody in Salem the other day. She said to me that her sister comes works for her when she needs help, and she can't pay anybody to work there. So she just tells her sister, "Write down what you took, and you can have an item for working for me for the day. Anything you want in the store."
Nice.
Yeah, there's some really great dresses in there. My girlfriend picked up this beautiful black and white dress with like white cats all over it in skeletal form. It was beautiful, and she tried it on. It fit her to a T. She looked unbelievable in it.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, it was definitely like it was definitely a size smaller than what she's normally wearing, but she said it felt very comfortable, snug but comfortable. So Robert E. Howard, by the way, was a friend of H.P. Lovecraft's. Do you know who Robert E. Howard was?
I do not. Enlighten me.
He created Conan the Barbarian.
Whoa. He looks much more friendly than H.P. Lovecraft.
Probably, but he also died at a very young age. He committed suicide.
Yikes.
Yeah, he was 30 years old. Unbelievable. They both lived at the same time. But yeah, Robert E. Howard died insanely young. He never got to see Lee. Obviously, the commercial success that Conan would become.
Yeah.
H.P. Lovecraft's grave here in sorry, not Massachusetts, in Providence, Rhode Island, is written on it, says, "I am Providence." And there's always tributes around his grave, even though people do know about his, racist attitude about people and things. Which is kind of funny to think about that many people would leave tributes for him.
I have to wonder how socially accepted it was when he was alive. His racism, did people like support that? Like,
A lot of people explain it like this way. Even though a lot of his opinions probably would not have changed through the times, some of his opinions probably would have been altered based on the time period that they were living in and the acceptance of what things were back then. I'm not always going to say everyone is an out and out racist from the beginning to the end. My grandmother had very strong views about gay people until later on in life. You know what I mean?
yeah.
So I believe people can change based on like this is what you were brought up to believe, but then afterwards this is not okay. But like when it
For
came to
sure.
black people, my grandmother was always open-minded about people of color. She never had any prejudices, you know?
Yeah.
She always accepted other people of color when she played with them, she said. She said she never saw that. And but she did have a thing against gay people. You know what I mean? She said that's not what God says, the man and a woman. So there were certain things she was for and certain things she was against, but I never backed up against her about it until, kind of like I let her kind of evolve on her own.
Yeah.
H.P. Lovecraft was a Republican and he did vote for Herbert Hoover in the election. So the Republican Party was very different than compared to what it is now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you want more information about H.P. Lovecraft, there are dozens of H.P. Lovecraft podcasts out there. We are not an H.P. Lovecraft podcast, but there are probably podcasts that are dedicated to every single story written in every single film and adaptation and or reference of H.P. Lovecraft and everything ever. I mean, H.P. Lovecraft's legacy lives on in so many things, including like Scooby-Doo. In fact, if you watch the cartoon series Mysteries, Inc., H.P. Lovecraft plays a heavy, heavy, heavy influence into the overall mystery in Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc.'s 52-episode run. When you get to the final episode, it's finally revealed about certain secrets in the Scooby-Doo universe. So a lot of it's tied to H.P. Lovecraft. So I would definitely recommend watching that because I think it's an incredible show. Not every episode is tied to the overall mystery, but for the most part, it is a long-running mystery for 52 episodes. Obviously, H.P. Lovecraft has shown up in SpongeBob SquarePants because he lives under the sea. Which,
Yeah.
by the way, you can go to your local Wendy's right now and get a Krabby Patty meal.
Have you had it?
That's awesome. I don't know what the next adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft is that's coming out, but all of his novels and works are in public domain and can be found everywhere. I've covered extensively Reanimator over on Goth Girl Horror, the Hack Slash podcast, as there was some controversy with the Reanimator characters being used in that for the crossover with Hack Slash. So go to that episode and check out more information about that. Mel, you said you were almost in an H.P. Lovecraft movie.
This has been 15, about 15 almost years ago. I was set to work on a HP Lovecraft movie series by Darkstone, but some stuff fell through and I didn't get to work on it. Back then, I was desperate for any role anybody would give me. And it was not a very large character, but I was really looking forward to working on it because, tentacle monsters,
I always make tentacle jokes at my girlfriend. I won't explain what they are, but just let's just say
Yeah.
they're pretty funny. I'm trying to find the proper anime hentai to watch with her. A lot of it's
Nice.
non-consensual, let's just face it, and she's not really into that, so
Ah. Oh yeah, it's hard
so
to find a consensual tentacle monster experience.
yeah, you know,
It Came From the Deep is a very good book that she would probably enjoy.
there is, by the way, there is a lot more consensual hentai out there than I realized. It's very like Friends kind of cast, you know what I mean? Feel and vibe to it.
Yes.
But it's definitely hentai porn to no end, but there's no grotesque adult material that people might find offensive, let's just say. So, but I digress. Enough on that topic. Mel, where can people find you?
At Mel Heflin all over the internet. Heflin, not Helfin.
And this
How
is
about
where
you,
people
Chris?
can. And where can people book you if they have a exciting blockbuster movie they need you to star in?
Oh gosh, good luck booking me. I'm so booked.
Okay. Never
Find
mind.
me on the internet. I'll find a way. Instagram, Twitter, don't matter.
Mel works cheap. She works for cigarettes and wine, so
Oh yeah, try that one.
you can find me over on Radio of Horror on Sunday nights from 10 to 12. I have an appearance at That's Entertainment coming up soon where I'll be selling books for Vlada, a Dracula Tale. You can also go online to find Vlada, a Dracula Tale, Vlada Chronicles of the Dam, Vlada Tales of the Dam, Vlada Resurrection, as well as my new comic book, Detective Demona, and coming soon, my book about comic book stores of New England and their histories. You can send me an email at radioofhorror@gmail.com. Don't forget to leave us a comment, like, subscribing, and leave us an iTunes ratings on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. And thank you, everyone, and have a happy Halloween.
In the shadows, you can hear the sounds. The rumble of 100 hellhounds. Cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see if they just know where to go. It's the creature.
Whoa.
It's the creature.